journalism class freshman year, and I found the medium interesting, just in newspaper alone, not to mention, you know, journalism as a whole. And I thought, you know, this is kind of fun. I enjoy this, and I enjoyed writing commentaries about technology and drawing art and images. And being an editor now, I take great stride in being an editor. I'm very gracious that I even have the possibility of being an editor for a newspaper, especially when school newspapers are definitely a thing that is not in very many high schools anymore. And I've always been, ever since I was a kid, I was always interested with technology and any sort of like electronic stuff. And I remember, you know, taking things apart that I shouldn't have when I was a kid, like old like radios and stuff, and looking inside of them and old keyboards, and I'm like, wow, how does this work? And over time, it kind of got settled into more like areas instead of just general stuff. I started getting interested in the older things because there was so much more variety and style in them. And I ended up finding this special place for like old telephone equipment and old like radio equipment. And I always found it very cool to transmit any sort of thing miles away. And everybody takes this stuff for granted. And it's actually really neat from the perspective of knowing how it works. And over the years, I started picking up old like radios and telephones at yard sales, and I started collecting them. And, you know, I don't know if that's good or bad considering my room looks like it's from 1969 now, but it's all right. And over the years, I've kind of gained this opinion on radio in the Portland area, where there really isn't much that pertains to me. You know, everybody's different in a way, but I always found that a few radio stations were worth listening to for me that I was interested in, which would be, you know, KBOO being one of them. And I'm like, well, if they let you volunteer, I might as well, you know, try that out. And I actually asked one of the people at the booth, and I was like, hey, can youth people volunteer? And I got a great response of saying that there's a whole, you know, group of people who are under the age of 21 who do radio stuff and have access to things that most people will never have access to, especially at an age where most people wouldn't trust you with anything like that. Right. And I take that with great responsibility. And also I'm very, I guess, gracious that I can, you know, have very little experience and people are teaching this to me, and I can, you know, have access to things that people would not have.
Yeah, I think that is also what was the most mind-blowing for me whenever I discovered KBOO and other places like KBOO, knowing that there's a place where people have the knowledge about how to do radio, and for free they will actually train you on how to do it, even though you have no knowledge whatsoever, which can be challenging sometimes. In your particular case, it doesn't seem like you have no knowledge whatsoever, but the show that you were talking about is the Youth Collective. Could you talk a little bit about your involvement with the Youth Collective, but also you volunteer in other departments with our remote broadcast. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so in the long run, you know, people age, that's the thing. So after
we do,
the Youth Collective is until 21, and I'm, you know, 17, and I'm almost 18 now, so, you know, it's funny how time flies, so you have to be ready for in the long run. And in the long run, I'm interested in doing engineering stuff as well as outreach. And so I've definitely gotten started with that, with helping at the volunteer booth at, you know, festivals like the Cathedral Park, and then running, you know, being an intern with Tom with all the remote stuff and all the soundboard and all the equipment. But the great thing about the Youth Collective in general is that it gives, you know, a voice to people most people overlook. Most people think as teenagers is undeveloped and that they don't have the knowledge or the wit of most people, where teenagers have a very different point of view. And sometimes that point of view is better because of the amount of spirit and, you know, just being somewhat more free than the average person once they're older, where they have jobs and responsibilities and kids and families and whatnot, and car payments, don't forget that, taxes too. And so it's kind of cool hearing from a different point of view that's often overlooked and oftentimes even neglected on purpose because people think that we are not important. And so I think it's great that I can, you know, have an idea and have people help me produce it, or have tell me how to, you know, write stuff and, you know, use the equipment and get your voice out there.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's great that you're on today, because right after this show is the Youth Collective show, the Youth Random Onion. So I hope that folks will stay tuned and hopefully listen for a couple of pieces from you, Collins, tonight that you're playing. So I've heard that you started your own radio station in your backyard. Tell me about that.
All right. Well, you're not wrong. The word is gotten out. I remember telling Ani, and then Ani told like everybody, and then, you know, even now Tom has figured that out, and everybody knows now. And I'm just like, well, you know, it's important, but not as important, or not that important. But it's so what I did is, at first, I mean, you know, being interested with radio and stuff, I've picked up quite a bit of knowledge in how it works, and you know how broadcasting is and how the FCC does their business. And, you know, you have your opinion on that, and I don't need to talk about that, because everybody has their opinion on that, and we've heard enough about the things that are happening with the FCC right now. But anyhow, with me, the lack of things I was interested in was a problem because of the amount of old radios I have sitting around, and, you know, they're supposed to be used. And I can only, you know, listen to about 8 hours of classical or jazz before I literally go insane. So if, and I mean, so anyhow, starting a radio station with my own preference of music, my own preference of programming, my own preference in a lot of things, as well as giving other people, like friends of mine, having them come on when we do like live shows where we call people and talk to them about opinions and, you know, what they think and how are they doing. It's really interesting to help people have a voice, and at the same time it's also cool when I'm not doing stuff like that just to have a station playing stuff I wanted to. And this actually started with an AM radio station that was about a year and a half ago. I started with this experimental broadcasting system with a crystal oscillator, which is like that's what it is, it's a crystal oscillator. I can't explain it. I'm not, you know, some mad scientist here, but anyhow, it's like a little circuit and it uses a 1 megahertz oscillator, and the sound quality isn't great. You have to ground it, of course, to the ground outside or your water pipe or whatever. And it got about, you know, with a 2-foot antenna you could get a couple houses. And I originally started that, and it worked for about, I had it that for about 6 months, and it worked fairly well for being simple. And that first, it was because I started with AM, because a lot of the old radios I have were from a time when AM was the original, in the other than shortwave, the original broadcast band. And especially with AM in Portland, there really isn't anything I would be interested in. Mm. And so I started with that, and soon afterwards I ended up getting some schematics together from the internet, and I ended up collecting radio parts and stuff, and I actually built an AM transmitter according to a schematic for one that was, it uses a vacuum tube, which I think is a 12SK7 or something, or 12SA7, and it's a single vacuum tube, and it has the input and then the output, and it has a tunable circuit in it, and it works fairly well. It doesn't drift or anything, which is nice. It has some sort of lock on it, which is good, and I ended up putting that together, and it compared to the old transmitter, it works a lot better. And with the vacuum tube, it has a nice sound, which is important, especially when fidelity on an AM radio is very limited. And soon after I actually had one of my teachers from school had an old FM transmitter laying around. It's one of those 25 milliwatt transmitters from that you have to put together. He ended up giving it to me, which I was grateful for, and I ended up starting that immediately. I have an FM station now, so that's the way it is. And so I do the same programming on both stations for both types of radios, and So yeah, that's how it is.
So do you have a name yet for the radio stations, or can people pick them up already? I know if they live somewhat close to you, and I don't know if we want to disclose your address, but maybe the general area. And what are your plans for it? What do you see it grow into?
So at the time, let me think here. At this moment, I kind of named my station K-Bell, after the old telephone company.
Cool.
And it's just, you know, K-B-E-L-L. I can't use a four-letter call sign because that would be a real one. And I've been broadcasting on 88.1 at the moment, and I've been broadcasting on AM at 1290. And the thing with FM in Portland is that the market's really tight. There's not a lot of open spots. And 88.1... works with low power, but it would not work with a high power transmitter because of how the close proximity to another station on 88.3. But I've made it so that there's no cross interference, which is good. And in the area where you might be able to pick it up, you know, I only have 25 milliwatts on FM, and I only have about 50 milliwatts on FM or AM. So it doesn't go too far, which isn't really the point. But I'd say that the FM would go about two blocks, and the AM would go about a block at the moment. I've been working on that. But, you know, you also have to remember that keeping within FCC regulations is important because I do not have a permit, and it's supposed to fall under micro broadcasting. Mm-hmm. And
so what are your plans for it? Do you see it grow? Do you see it turn into KBOO or a version of it?
In the long run, you know, that would be great. But at the same time, with the way that a high schooler is running it, you know, don't expect anything major. I definitely, there's no way for me with the FCC and the low power FM not really happening. I don't think there's really going to be a window for that anymore. I do not see a future in ever getting a permit, which is fine. I understand that, especially when we are slowly heading towards, you know, the end of analog radio in a way where everything will be digital eventually.
Right.
Especially with the AM, like with my AM transmitter, I'm not really like into buying any sort of fancy equipment because the AM broadcast band is basically heading towards the end very quickly with the AM revitalization, you know, parentheses around that, where they're basically putting the AM stations on FM,
right,
which are taking the last spots. And that's why LPFM is rushing to get on the band, because the AM station are going to come on and there's going to be no place for any sort of thing like mine.
Yeah, cool. Well, I just want to say, Colin, with you around, the future is definitely brighter. So I appreciated getting to know you a little bit more and to see how much creativity and genius you're putting out into the world. And I'm just really honored that you're a part of our community and, you know, to get a chance and an opportunity to be around you and learn from you, because you're absolutely right. Young people do have lots of opinions, and very often they are better.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Colin, for your wisdom, and thank you all for listening for News from the Boo. And next week, Mike Crenshaw will be your host. And so absolutely stay tuned for the Youth Randomanian next on KBOO. Have a great evening.
I was never cool in school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years, I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries. That's me. And
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Did you know that KBOO podcasts all our news and talk shows?
You can find the podcast on KBOO's website, kboo.fm, on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Just search for your favorite show and hit subscribe to get all the latest episodes downloaded to your favorite device.
Or search for KBOO on iTunes, Google Play to get all the KBOO podcasts.
I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, clicks, and social coteries. That's me. Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy?
Show me the mosh pit.
Can we be happy?
It is 6 o'clock. This is the Youth Collective. Our first piece coming on is by one of our acquaintances. This is Mallory.